realize Lag BaOmer in Eretz Yisrael is much different than at home. It's a yontif bifnei atzmai. It's something that's hyped up in a way that we can't even imagine. And there are things that are unusual, you know, bonfires, right? Fires are really dangerous, by the way. And there are always stories about fires, and, you know, there's big, big fires everywhere you go. So, Shaila, it doesn't seem like Yiddish Mama would appreciate that. It really is dangerous. And we don't find in the Torah that we encourage such things, and yet there are big fires, and it seems like almost the bigger the better. To try to understand this, I have asthma, so most of you know that I don't go out on Lag BaOmer night. The first year I was here in Eretz Yisrael, I got a terrible lung infection from being in Yerushalayim on the night of Lag BaOmer. So I had a Rebbe Shematzev. For years I spent the whole 24 hours at home. It's like I always wanted to daven b'yichidus, like, you know, I got my excuse. It was very, one time I was davening Shmoneh Esrei Shachris in my house, and I heard all this crackling, and my entire backyard was, a giant tree was ablaze. This is dangerous, right? We're playing with fire. We're playing with fire. And it's so hyped up, the Biyana Rebbe, when he lights the Madura, if you could see his face, there are pictures, he looks like he's mamish dying al pi kiddush Hashem as he's lighting the Madura. And I want you to know, even though I'm in my house, I've had a big chelek in the lighting of the Madura. How was I zocheh? I don't even see the Madura in Ramat Eshkol. But for 2 years, we have a kesher with the Biyana Rebbe, and a stronger kesher even with the Biyana Rebbe's mother, Zichrona Levracha. And we had the schus that the Biyana Rebbe called us when he went to Meiron for Shabbos. He called us b'chvod v'atzmo, without a gabbai. He called my wife, and he asked us to host his mother for Shabbos in Yerushalayim by us so that he could go up to Meiron. So if anyone noticed that he was calm, it was because his mother was by me. But it's an incredible thing. And I want to talk about fire. I think we can't understand Lag BaOmer unless we really understand fire. Because fire is dangerous, but fire has a lot of milas. Fire is amazing. In fact, probably the most incredible fire that we have, not probably, definitely, is the sun. The sun is a fireball. I don't know that much about it, but I know it's not a good idea to come close to it. And it's quite far away, right? Scientists will tell you that if we were even a little bit closer to the sun, it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be a good situation. We're talking a heat wave for Lag BaOmer. It would be much more than a heat wave if we were closer to the sun. It says in davening, we say, "Hameir la'aretz v'la'dorim alei barachamim." I was always wondering, why does it say that Hashem shines the sun on the land and the people? Birachamim. What's the rachamim? Right? Anytime you turn on the lights, it's rachamim. It's mercy. Where's the mercy of Hashem? But when you're dealing with fire, everything is mercy. Hashem's mayor, the sun. He sets up the sun in such a way that we could benefit from it without getting burnt. Right? You can use sunblock, you'll be fine. Right? A little bit of cream will protect you from the sun. Despite that it's a blazing fire. And we can enjoy that sun. We can enjoy the fire. Enjoy everything it has to offer. Live in there. Be there with it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows it to be there in a way that I can stand around the fire, get the heat from the fire, and not be harmed from the fire. HaMeir la'aretz v'ladarim alei berachamim. Torah is a fire. Torah is a fire. In fact, Tosfos tells us in Shabbos on Daf Peches, we know Klal Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma, We accept the Torah, right? But Tosfos asks, it also says in Chazal, Kafa Aleihem Har Kegiges, that they said, we're not down for this, right? We can't keep the Torah like this. So which one is it? Nasa v'nishma, we'll take all the Torah. Or no, you have to force us to do it. Tosfos says something incredible in Shabbos on Peches. He says, this is how he answers. Afal pishikvar higdimu nasa v'nishma. They already said nasa v'nishma, the famous chus. Check, they got the chus. But shema yu chozrim kishayiru ha'esh hagdola sheyatzis nishmasan. When they saw the fire of Matan Torah and they saw what Torah is, there's a, maybe this is not a good idea. You know that Nasa Venishma thing we said, Hashem? Can we talk about that again? Maybe we want to back out of that one. Why? Because they saw the Eish Hagdola. What did they see about Torah that made them not want to say Nasa Venishma? They saw that we can't live in fire. They saw that Torah is fire. And fire burns. My Rebbeim, I was Mekabel from my Rebbeim, the whole Yisod of fire is it turns everything else into fire. It doesn't allow for room for anybody or anything. It's stubborn, right? You go into fire, you turn into fire, right? That's it. That's what fire does. If someone sees fire, it basically says there's no room for me in the world. And when Klal Yisrael saw the fire of Matan Torah, they thought that they're toasted. Basically, they thought they were toasted. And we also find that a Talmud Chacham is fire. It says in Avos, Parak Beis, Mishnah Tesvav, Heve mischamim keneged uran. You should warm yourself in the heat of the Talmud Chacham. But, careful, Heve zar begachalasen shelo tichva. Don't get burnt. You come too close, you might get burnt. What is this imagery over here? What exactly is this Talmud Chacham? This Talmud Chacham is a fire. And a fire is an opportunity, but a fire is dangerous. And if you, just like, you know, we have those heaters, you know, in the house. The heaters, it's not a good idea to touch them, right? But they heat up the house. They're there not to be touched, but they're there to be far away. A Talmud Chacham is Eish. And if you want to have a shaychus with the Talmud Chacham, you come close enough to enjoy the fire. But if you infringe on his Dalet Amos and you enter the fire, then you're living in a reality that there's no room. It's fire! It's fire! We can't live in a fire. The Torah was given to us as a fire, but we were never supposed to live in that fire. The Torah is bigger than we could ever imagine. The Torah is something that the Malachim are afraid of. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a fire. He made a fire. And he gave us a system that we could be part of that fire, be safe, enjoy the fire, see the beauty in the fire, and be part of things. Right? Be part of that fire. This is a very deep concept. A person wants to be shaykh to something great, but if something's too great, it could swallow them up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a system where there's something so big and so frightening and has no room for me, and yet it does have room for me. I go to my position, I find my place near the fire, and I start dancing around the fire. I start dancing around the fire. I needed to give you this hakdama to understand the Gemara. Okay, this was all an introduction to enter Lag BaOmer. Because, let's face it, okay, if there's a fire on Lag BaOmer, it's not an exciting one. It's a scary one. There's only one fire that I know about with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. One fire, okay? Rav Shimon comes out of the cave after learning for 12 years, and vaporizes the world. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Wherever he goes, he turns everything into fire. what's going on over here? This is not exciting. My little three-year-old who's talking about the Madura and she's singing Aish is fire, fire is hot, right? They're not teaching her this scary thing that Reb Shimon vaporized everything. He turned everything into fire. That's not something so happy, right? We're making fires bigger and bigger. That's frightening. And Hashem said, get back into the cave. You have 12 months of din of Gehenna because you burnt everybody. What's going on in this Gemara? So I'd like to read this Gemara, and this will mamash change our lives. Sammy, this will take you through Lag BaOmer. You'll be with the Biyana Rebbe with this pshat in the Gemara. Let's try to read a Gemara slowly and try to understand what's going on in this Gemara. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is fire. Okay? That's what he is. Rabbi Yishmael comes and says in Brachas, you have to make a parnasa. Just look at the world. Hanhegbam minhag derech eretz. It's the way of the world. It's what Hashem wants. It's in Kriya Shema. Right? It's in Kriya Shema. You'll work the land. Vasafta diganecha. That's what Hashem wants. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, not so fast. Torah ma tehealeh. If I have to learn one less Rashba because of work, I'm not working at all. At all. Whoa. Right? Now we know why we sing about Bar Yochai, the father, Yochai, right? He was worried about his son, right? Like all the parents here. Parnasa, Parnasa, right? Bar Yochai, he deserves an honorable mention. The father, the stress. His son doesn't want to make a Parnasa. Not one bit of Hishtadlus from Reb Shimon. Not one bit. Why? Torah Matahela. You know, I'd like to tell Rav Shimon, we're living down here in a practical world. He says, I'm living in the fire. Where I am, it's full with all of its heat, with all of its intensity. And this is what I bring to the world. And the Gemara in Sukkah tells us on Daf Memhei something absolutely wild. The Gemara says that Reb Shimon says something about himself and his son. He says, Ra'isi b'nei aliyah v'hin mu'atim. I haven't seen too many b'nei aliyah. Im elef hein, if there are 1,000 b'nei aliyah. Aniyu b'nei b'hen. It's me and my son as part of them. Im mei, if there's 100. Aniyu b'nei b'hen. Im shnayim hein, if there are 2. Aniyu b'nei hein. We are the B'nai Aliyah. Wow, that's confidence. We are them. If there's only 2 B'nai Aliyah on planet Earth, it's me and my son, Reb Elazar. What's going on over here? And the same Gemara says that Reb Shimon said we could pater the entire world from all of their averis. How do you do that? We see here you could do that? What? How do you do that? Reb Shimon knew that he was living a perfect existence. He was living the life of Torah Batz Musa, totally uncompromised. No psharas, no booby prizes, no bidyevets, no nothing. Everything, all my resh mem chesevarim, all my shasa gidim, Torah, Torah, Torah. That was Reb Shimon. And it gives me a tremendous simcha when I sing, Nase Adam Nemer Bavurecha. When Hashem said in Bar Yochai, it's my favorite line. It's one of my, actually, there are 2 favorite lines, but that's one of them. Nase Adam Nemer Bavurecha. Imagine someone says to you, Hashem says to you, I'm sure there's a makar for this in the deeper Svarim because it wouldn't be in the Bar Yochai song. It was written by Mekubalim. Hashem says, you know, when I said, let us make man, I had you in mind because you did it. You lived the dream. Nase Adam Nemer Bavurecha. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? That's what Reb Shimon was saying. He says, if there are 1,000 people, I'm it. If there's only 2 people, me and my son, we lived the dream. We lived it entirely with absolutely no compromise. Fire! Fire! And that's why we could pater all everyone's averis. Because if one person is living the dream, so then Hashem says, I said I should make man. Oh, what a mistake to make, man. Oh, but this one, Nachas, Reb Shimon, Nasa Adam Nemar Bavarecha, he justifies the entire existence of mankind. Entire existence of mankind. Him and his son. And he had tremendous conviction of his principles. The Gemara says in Shabbos, the Ma'arit in his Chidushim asks, what's going on over here? How did he get in trouble with the government that he went into to the cave? They're talking about the Goyim and the Bnei Esav. The Bnei Esav, you don't mess with the Bnei Esav, right? They're talking about why did they create all these shooks, you know, these moles, and why did they create all these bridges? And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you know, they did something good for humanity. They did something good. And Rabbi Shimon says, what? They did it for themselves. They did it for Znus. They didn't do it at all for Klal Yisrael. And then all of a sudden, people found out about it. Boom, he's got to be in a Myra. Rabbi Shimon, politics. The Ma'arit asked the Kasha, we have a system of how to deal with Bnei Esav. We don't just say these crazy statements. Says the Ma'arit, you know what he says? He says, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that when the Goyim come to get judged, in the end of days, they're going to say, we built malls, right? We built them so that you could have a store for Karban Pesach, right? Not for clubbing and for bars and for Zara. No, for Karban Pesach, right? And Hashem says, you did it for yourselves, you did it for Znus, all of it. That's why you built the George Washington Bridge too, Golden Gate as well, all of them, Znus, right? Okay, you're right. Says the Ma'arit that Reb Shimon was worried that if Reb Yehuda said a limud zchus for Goyim, that it's ki'ilu taking away the history of the world and the future of Goyim, how Hashem really looks at them. And he says, I'm not letting this happen. I have to say the truth. I'll be meiser nafshi. He's living in a totally different plane. Like, this is not the regular playing field. This is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So what happens? This Reb Shimon is for 12 months. He's in a cave, right? Let's look at the Gemara. Let's look at the Gemara slowly and enjoy the Gemara. Enjoy this wonderful Gemara. Every line here is a surprise. Says the Gemara. Reb Shimon comes out. Why? Because Eliyahu comes to the cave. Become a pitzk de marasa amar man lozi labar yochai de mis kesar ubatok zerase. He should know he wasn't speaking. Eliyahu was not speaking directly. This is a diuk of the Ben Ish Chai. Was not speaking directly to Reb Shimon. He was just announcing. Does Reb Shimon know that the kesar died and it's safe to come out? So they came out. It's going to be important soon. Nafku chazu inshi de kakarbi vizari. They saw people who were working the fields. Amar menichin chayoylam voskin b'chayishah. Don't you know my shita? That you don't make a parnasa? Don't you know that this world is for the Rashba, the Ritva, and for the Zayar HaKadosh? How do you think you're going to become a Talmud Chacham? Look! You're doing something that's not learning at any moment of the day. What happened? What's not? It's a little scary. This is what happened. Kol makom shenosin einim miyad yisraf. Wherever they looked, everything turned into fire. Okay. Yatzta baskol. Hashem got upset. Va'amra lahem lahachriv olami yatzatem. You came out to destroy my world? I'm the one who created this place. You can't do this. What? Reb Shimon's having a machlokas with Hashem now. This is very interesting. Chazru l'maraschem. They went there for treisar yarche. Mishpat rishoyim begehenem. Yud beis chodesh. Reb Shimon, according to his madrega, had to be there for the amount of time that people go to Gehenem. What's going on over here? Then baskol amra. Tzu, after this 13th year, we're going to get to this soon. Tzu me maraschem, come out. Nafku, they came out. Kolheichad Avimachi, Rabbi Lazar, Havimasi, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar still was burning things up, still heated. The Maharal explains that young people are less forgiving. And Rabbi Lazar was the son, and he was burning things up. And Rabbi Shimon all of a sudden started curing everything that was getting mixed up, getting burnt. Rabbi Shimon was fixing it. Amar lo, he said to him, Bini, Dai lo oilam anivata. It's enough that me and you are here. Okay, we're going to explain all this. We're giving a blotch here over here. It's enough that me and you are here. Says Rashi, it's enough that me and you learn Torah, or Osik b'Torah. Okay, what's going on over here? Then, all of a sudden, Badei Panya Demali Shabsa, Chazu Ahu Saba, they saw an Erev Shabbos, a Yid. He was taking two bundles of hadasim. Virohid ben Ashmashis, and the man was running. Amrulei Hani Lamalach, what do you have all these hadasim? Amrulei Lechavad Shabbos. So he says, it's enough one bundle. V'tiskilach Bechad. He says, no. One is Keneged Zachar, and one's Keneged Shamar. Very nice. Amrulei Lebrei, he said to his son, Rabbi Lazar, Chazi kama chaviv in mitzvahs al Yisrael. Look how chaviv mitzvahs are to Yidden. That's a Yid, says Rabbi Shimon to his son. And Rabbi Lazar, calm down. What is going on in this Gemara? I'd like to take this Gemara apart a little bit over here. Let's go slow. The Ben Yoyada says that what happened in this cave, we all know, they were ligging and learning. They weren't even wearing clothes. They were covered in dirt. They put on clothes just for davening. For davening, because if they would keep their clothes on the whole time there, it would get withered away. So they just kept, but otherwise they were just covering their bodies with dirt just to be covered from their erva, and that was it. They were learning and learning and learning. And what happened was they became Torah. They didn't just learn Torah, they became Torah. And Torah is a fire. Torah is a big fire. And we wouldn't get anything. We wouldn't have the secrets of the Torah if somebody didn't become Torah. You can't just get the secrets of the Torah. How do you get all of the Torah when you mamish? Don't work. Don't compromise. You just sit there, bidvekas atzuma, literally risking your life on all planes of existence. And then you reach madregas, 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 and you become Torah. And when Reb Shimon and his son, Rabbi Lazar, when they were going to come out, Hashem knew this was not the right time for them to come out, but he knew they needed a lesson. Why? Because he knew that they were going to expect the world to live on their terms. Fire. And that's why, says the Ben Yoyada, Eliyahu didn't call them out of the Myra at this point, because they really, it wasn't going to be a happy ending. I don't want to call it a setup, but for all intents and purposes, there was a lesson here that needed to be given. And basically, Eliyahu didn't invite them for this lesson, but he announced, people want to come out, it's safe. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, he wasn't talking directly to him. Later, in the 13th year, which we're going to get to, Abbas Kol said, come out, it's time. What happened in that 12th year? They thought that everybody has to be like them. That's what Torah is. The Torah doesn't have room for the little people. The Torah is not there to raise the little people and to enjoy the warmth, but it expects everyone to reach the highest madrega humanly possible. Everyone. And anything else doesn't deserve to exist. And Hashem said to him, you're making a mistake about fire. And he put them in to 12 months of something similar to Gehenna. What do we know that Gehenna is? It's fire. He's saying the purpose of fire is not to just vaporize things. Perhaps what he was telling him was, we know the tachlis of Gehenna is to make somebody get to Gan Eden. There has to be some purpose to your fire over here. And to tell him that it's not about being destructive. It's about building. And in Dafka, in Yud Gimel, year 13, right? Yud Gimel, Midas of Rachman. It was time for Reb Shimon to learn a lesson that it's about raising Klal Yisrael, about letting everyone see his sunlight and raising them and showing them how big they could be when they have to do things that they're not excited about doing, when they know their lives are not exactly ideal. Kedai lismaicho Reb Shimon b'shas hadchak. Reb Shimon turned into a Rebbe who saw in every person a reason for their existence, a reason for their greatness. And he attached himself to them. And he said, we're together. We're together. What did he see? What did he see? He saw a Yid collecting hadassim for Shabbos. And he said, how chaviv are the mitzvahs? How chaviv are the mitzvahs? What was he saying? He was saying, look, they're preparing for Shabbos. What's preparing for Shabbos? So maybe you should have seen them putting on tefillin. He saw people who were preparing for Yom Shekula Shabbos, for Olam Haba. They may not be as big as Rav Shimon. They may be as little as us. But he saw the greatness in them. He saw their fire. He saw their heat. He saw their greatness. And he saw that it was his tachlis to discover the greatness of every single Yid. Kedai lismaicha Reb Shimon b'shas adchak. And the Gemara says a very strange thing. He says to his son, it's enough that me and you, what does the Gemara say? It's enough that me and you, b'ni da, amr lo b'ni dai la'olam ani vata, it's enough me and you. What's it enough me and you? Says Rashi, it's enough me and you that we're osik b'Torah. What, everybody else is just supposed to go to Hawaii? It's enough that me and you are osik b'Torah? Reb Shimon's saying, no, it's enough that me and you lived the dream, and now we're just going to bring everyone to us. Let everyone dance around the fire. Let everyone experience all the sinus HaTorah. Where do you think the Baal Shem Tov ignited all of Klal Yisrael? From the sinus of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon brought it down, and then the heat from around the fire lifted people. Where did the Vilna Gaon get it? The Vilna Gaon said that his perish on the Safra Ditzniusa, on the deepest parts of the Torah, is for the last generation, not the generation that the Vilna Gaon was in, and it wasn't really learned. Do you know that there's an explosion of Limud of Litvish Kabbalah in this generation? The Vilna Gaon said, I wrote this Sefer for the last generation who's going to need something to warm them up. Kalta Litvaks, who need to be Bechimu Matzum. What's going on over here? Reb Shimon said, my fire is to warm Klal Yisrael. It's enough me and you that Hashem got nachas from us, and now we're going to show how Hashem can get nachas from everyone else. And the Marsha asks on Rashi. He says, why did Rashi say that it's enough that me and you are Osek B'Torah? He should have said the Gemara in Sukkah, where the Gemara says, it's enough me and you. We potter off all the Averis. That's what the Marsha says. A beautiful pshat in the Gemara. Rabosai, I'm telling you, I believe that Rashi's saying the same thing as the Marsha. Why did the Gemara say in Sukkah that Reb Shimon was able to potter the entire world? Because he didn't compromise on anything. He was Oisik Batoira in a way that literally was Maimed Har Sinai. And it's enough. He did that for us, that we could enjoy. He went to places that no one could. When you read Bar Yochai, it sounds like he's taking a rocket ship and he's fighting lions and there's swords. There really is that way. We've never learned this way. Ah, poof, poof. Right? Like we learn, it's just like, okay, do you want to read or should I read? Right? There's no swords, right? Even if you're not happy with the pshat of your chavrusa, I mean, you're not fighting and running through things. And this was Reb Shimon. He knew the world needed him. And at first he thought the world had to turn into Reb Shimon. And then he realized that no, the world needs my chamimus to bring it up. And that's my tachlis, to show that every Yid is preparing for Shabbos. They have chavivas of mitzvahs. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman says, why did Reb Shimon, why was he so impressed with these hadassim? You know why? Because it showed creativity. It's not a sif in Shulchan Aruch Hadassim. This man came up with it on his own. He showed that Klal Yisrael has big neshamas. We don't have to be as big. We can do things. And Reb Shimon found that greatness in Klal Yisrael. And when Reb Shimon came out in Yud Gimel, Yir Yud Gimel, Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim, Rachim, we always say, is Machar. The Osios, Maral talks about Rachim, mercy, and the word tomorrow are the same word, same letters, because there's a future. Reb Shimon was supposed to bring a future, not an end, but a future to Klal Yisrael. And this is really what Reb Shimon's tachlis was. There's a Yushalmi in Sanhedrin. The Yushalmi says in Sanhedrin on Daf Vav that Rabbi Akiva was giving smicha. He was giving smicha, that famous smicha of the five Talmidim. And the Yushalmi says something remarkable. Rabbi Meir was seated ahead of Reb Shimon for this smicha process. And it says that Reb Shimon was oismetsh. Reb Meir, I mean, you know, you always want to know, how does your Rebbe feel about you? And here, Rebbe Meir, Stam Mishnah, Rebbe Meir, was ahead of him. It hurts. It hurts. Not for the lolishma reasons of us, but you always want to know, where am I in the shir? What does Rebbe hold of me? Forgetting the kina, taiva, and kavod. But emes, where am I even in the olama emes? Why is Rebbe Meir in front of me? Rebbe Meir was in front. And Rebbe Akiva said to his Talmud, his dear Talmud, Reb Shimon, don't feel bad. Dayecha, she'ani uboracha yoidim es kochacha. It's enough that me and Hashem, me and Rabbi Akiva and Hashem, they have a secret between them. Me and Hashem know your strength. What's exactly going on over here? So it's a secret, his strength, and Rabbi Meir comes first? No, there's something totally different going on here. Listen, this is incredible. This will take you through Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Meir's name is Meir, is light. Rebbe Meir was too bright of a light. In fact, Chazal say that we're not Yorid L'Sof Daito Shel Rebbe Meir. We can't always chop his shir. We can't at all. He's just too deep. Rebbe Meir, it says about Rebbe that he became sharp in learning because he saw the back of Rebbe Meir. In the Hakdama to the Nefesh HaChaim, it brings, because just like we know Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't look at the face of Hashem, Rebbe was saying, I could look at the back of Rebbe Meir. It's too bright. It's too blinding. Rebbe Meir was in front of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai because technically he was bigger. But Rebbe Akiva said, you have a koyach to go down to people, to make the light dimmer, to make it more understandable, to let people warm themselves from this light, to create a Baal Shem Tov, to create a Vilna Gaon, to create an Arizal, to create a Rashash, to create Likutei Maharan. All of these things were created by Rav Shimon's light. All of them. All of them. And that's his kayach. And it's not always the Eloi who becomes the one who's taking over the generation. It's the one who goes down and down and down to the people. You have a kayach, Reb Shimon. You're a master teacher. You're going to bring the light down in a way that people can see the light, appreciate the light, warm themselves from this light. Dance around the fire. You're going to let them dance around the fire and let them be part of it. Let them see the fire and know that it's their fire and give them a place next to it where they can handle it. They can enjoy it. They can appreciate that they're part of this Am HaNivchar of the Torah of Hashem. That's the simcha of Lag BaOmer, is that Borei Olam gave us the Torah in a way that it reaches and touches our hearts. That it, despite that it's a blazing fire, that it's something that warms me, something that elevates me, something that shows that I'm great in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Reb Shimon brought on Lag BaOmer. On the last day of his life, Reb Shimon revealed the deepest parts of the Zayir, called Idre Rabba and Idre Zuta. These were very big lights, but you know what? They're learnable because he created a great, great light that was able to enter the world. It's learnable. There are people in the generation who can actually learn these Giluyim because he dimmed the light. And this is our relationship with Torah, Rabosai. Sometimes we feel the Torah is too big. It's too enormous. Where am I in all this? Hashem's not looking for us to become Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Hashem is looking for us to enjoy dancing around the fire, being part of it, in whatever way we can. There was an old minug in Sfas, Kibalti Merabosai, that this was a minug, a true minug. They would take very fancy stuff, like Armani suits of that time, and throw them into the fire on Lag BaOmer and Meron. So the more expensive the thing, the greater it was. Now, this is, first of all, a shayla of Chukas HaGoyim. It's called Sarfana al-Malachim. It's a sugya in Avodah Zarah. It's also a tremendous bal tashchis, right? Don't tell your mother that you're taking your new suit and throwing it in the fire. And Bechlau, what are you doing? What are you doing? Right? Guys, do not do this, okay? I don't want to come back. Fine, I'm going to get a call from a parent that I gave you this bright idea. But what Bechlau is happening over here? You know what's happening? Something amazing. When you see that fire and you see how big it is, you show Hashem, Hashem, I'm not on the level of Rav Shimon, but there's so many dumb things in my life that are really dumb and holding me back. And I throw them in the fire. I say to Hashem, I want to be more real. I want to show you that this fire affects me. I want to show you that I know this is a blinding fire and it's a chiddush to see any of it. And I'm so happy to be a Yid. So happy to be about, NASA could never go into this fire. Right, NASA's always worried about their spaceships burning, right? Trust me. NASA couldn't come near this fire. There's no way to get to this fire without being a Yid. There's no way to get to this fire. And we have to realize that Reb Shimon has a relationship with us. My Rebbeim say, I don't sing about people. I was makabel from my Rebbeim that I'm a Kalta Litvak, I don't sing about people. People know that I don't sing the song Rebbe, 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 which is a popular song. And according to my Rebbeim, singing about Rebbes is a form of, it's karuv to something problematic. Okay. I don't want to get into it. But we don't sing about people ever. Why? We connect to Hashem. But my Rebbe raised a problem. We sing about Bar Yochai. And I'm not going to tell you what my Rebbe said as an answer, but I'm going to tell you my own hergish. That when we sing Bar Yochai, when I sing it to myself, and I sing it, Nase Adam Nemer Babrecha, Bar Yochai Ashrei Yolad Atecha, Ashrei Ha'am, I think about my ideals. I don't think about Reb Shimon as a person. I think about what he represents in my life, with my kesher, with Bari Olam, that there's such a bright light in my life, and I'm so happy that I'm out there touching it a little bit, getting a little bit of that warmth. And I'm so appreciative of this value system that there's nothing else in the world to throw it all in the fire and realize, Ashreinu, Matov Chalkeinu. And no matter how little we feel, we have to realize we're part of something so big. He's not separate from us, Reb Shimon. We are there. We're with him. We're part of that nation. If he was able to see that greatness, it's because we're all shayach to these madregas. One time I was walking on Shabbos, it was Erev Lag BaOmer on Shabbos, and I saw two secular kids collecting wood, a mamish like the Mekoshesh Eitzim. And I went over to them, and I said, my friends, what are you doing? They said, they're collecting wood. I said, for what? They said, for Lag BaOmer. So I said, you know, why is there a Lag BaOmer? So one of them, I guess, knew. He goes, Bar Yochai. He was very proud of himself. So I said to him, I said, my friend, my Hebrew is not so good, but I hope he understood me. I said, Bar Yochai would love for you to wait till after Shabbos. And he said, okay. And they dropped the things. And it was so easy. It was like all the times I tried this before, it failed. But I felt like it was Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon was there with these kids. Reb Shimon's there with Klal Yisrael. Kedai lismeich al Reb Shimon b'shas adchak. Reb Shimon is going there. There's so many weirdos who come to Meron on Lag BaOmer. Do you know why? Not because it's a Woodstock, which, by the way, you have to be careful because there's a lot of klipas tmeis, but it's because everyone wants to believe in themselves. And no matter what they look like or where they are, somehow they feel like they'll be understood on Lag BaOmer. Like there's something about them. They're connected to this great fire. We should all be Zaycha, Ashreinu, Matov, Chalkeinu, to be Mekabel, all the iris of Lag BaOmer, and take us through to Kabbalah Satayra.